Support for Commodity Week comes from the Friends of WILL and from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. With crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the July 13 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Joe Vaclavic of Standard Grain. He's out of Chicago, Illinois. Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing from Morton, Illinois. And Mike Zuzlo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. There you can listen to our agricultural programming each and every business day of the year. You can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is at Commodity Week. Just a quick reminder, it's Thursday, the 13th day of July. The markets crashed in Chicago. Mike Zuzlo, what do you think happened today?
Today and yesterday, or since the report, I think simply put, the market believed pre-report the grain pile was shrinking. The USDA said, no, it's not. And they said it in a big way. They took the average corn price down below $3 on the low end. And I think that took a lot of short-term, weak-handed bulls out of the market, especially in how we're driven by the computerized trading this year and last year and the previous year.
So why did soybeans fail so hard today?
I just think, bottom line, soybeans could not carry the load anymore, Todd, after the USDA didn't feed the bull. You also saw in the world numbers that, yeah, we're below last year, as far as world stocks to use for beans. But we're only like a 1.2 million tons lower than last year in terms of actual ending stocks. And so I think the vast majority of it, though, was the spread just ran out of gas and it just didn't get fed to buy beans and sell corn.
Do you think things really changed with the USDA report, Chip?
Honestly, I think it's more about perceptions of weather forecasts. I don't disagree that, you know, the ending stocks bumping higher on corn wasn't somewhat of a bearish influence. But I just think that there's been so much flip-flopping of these weather models. And on top of that, now that we're kind of in the Twitter world, you've got infighting amongst, all the different weather forecasters that are beating their chest saying, I'm right, or you're wrong, I'm right, that it's really throwing the market for a loop. And there have been some fairly significant model changes. You know, 48 hours ago, we were on tap for very hot, very dry in the Western Corn Belt. They've added better chances of rain and cooled it down a little bit. But that doesn't mean that, come Monday, it's not right back to the rains were disappointing and it's going to be hot. So we're a long way from the finish line. I think it was more weather related than anything. And that tells me we could, if it goes back the other way, we could be right back towards the highs again in a week.
Joe, I know you're in Chicago, but I don't know how much contact you actually have with other traders. Are you in the CBOT building? Is that right or wrong?
Yes, been there for years.
That's what I thought. So what do they think? Do you see very many people? And what's everybody saying?
I think this is 100% weather related. I think that going into last weekend, we had kind of a threatening forecast on the table. The market had rallied. You know, some of these rains that we saw during the last 4 or 5 days were not expected. That system we had pop up over Iowa and parts of Nebraska earlier this week was not necessarily forecasted to that extent. The rains we saw over the Eastern Corn Belt this week, I'm not sure if they were forecasted in that particular fashion. So I think that when it rains in mid-July, the markets go down, and it's pretty much as simple as that. I mean, the report I saw as being maybe slightly negative. You know, we knew that bigger corn production number was coming because of the higher June 30th acreage number. We had an idea that perhaps some of the corn demand numbers could be knocked down because of the larger stocks. So I really didn't see anything surprising there. We know that USDA generally doesn't change those yield numbers in July, but I think this is all a perception of yield ultimately, and that's the only thing that matters this time of year. And the trade is I think starting to work with a bigger yield number now after going the other way just a few days ago.
So USDA, in its report, the WASDE numbers this week said 75 million more bushels of corn on hand at the end of this marketing year and 215 million at the end of the coming marketing year, or the new crop marketing year, so a year from now. That number didn't seem to sway the market very much on Wednesday, but certainly, I guess, with the weather change today, things turned around. On the other hand, for soybeans, both new and old crop were down for the ending stocks, 35 million and 40 million. 40 million for this year, 35 million for the 17-18 crop year. Maybe it's the global stock number, Mike, that change things there?
Well, I'd be interested to hear what the other guys have to say, because I do feel pretty strongly that the wheat number especially was a very negative force. And I'm not just saying that. I've heard that from people in Chicago the past, 36 hours, that the world wheat number, and that's, you ask about the world number, but the world wheat number, the fact that we went up in stocks to use versus last year in the world ending stocks to use, and then the fact that we saw the ending stocks here in the United States go up 14 million bushels, even though we've got probably a record drought happening right now in the Northern Plains. And I don't think that the trade was prepared for that. I don't think that was something you can just write off and say, we did see that coming. Maybe, like Joe said, maybe the row crops, we could see some of that because of the acreage and stocks report, but the vast majority of the wheat, I felt like was an extreme surprise to the trade. And I feel like the wheat is making its decision right here, right now, whether it's the top is in like it was in 2015. And if you go back and look at early July, late June of 2015, these charts look almost identical right now to what we're doing. Or is it 2010, where we corrected right around this time period in the post July 4th holiday? And then by the middle of July in 2010, we were back higher. And by the end of July, we were making fresh highs in the wheat complex. And I think that's, along with what I said earlier, probably the biggest feature. No disagreement on the weather at all, but I just feel like that this trade nowadays, if they're going to go ahead and price in a 170 plus yield, when you've got crop conditions 11 points below last year at this time, you've got 9% of the Corn Belt in a drought versus 4% last year and 6% the prior year. That just doesn't all add up to me right now, but it could be. Maybe they just do look at only that.
I was thinking about these crop conditions, and I actually called Mark Schleusner at USDA. He's the Illinois State Statistician, earlier in the week, and asked him about these just a little bit. But it's because it seems to me, and I wonder, have our crop conditions not caught up yet with what actual conditions in the field are like? Now, I've driven a lot of Illinois, and it looks good, but the crop conditions don't reflect that in Illinois. I actually think it looks pretty good, and I wondered whether if there was some short-term memory. We often talk about that in the same way for the marketplace, that farmers remember what happened last year, so this crop doesn't look like last year's. Everybody believes it was in late. The numbers actually don't quite reflect that. There are places, of course, that it was late, but the numbers don't reflect that. And that it's pretty variable. Certainly there are places from, eastern Illinois through Indiana that look rough, even rotten at times. I don't know about the rest of the Corn Belt. I've been into central Illinois, where it was supposed to be the driest. Those crops actually look really good. Is it possible, do you think, that the enumerators looking at the fields just have short-term memory on this one? And everybody's blank.
I think that crop conditions, if you look at crop conditions versus final yields historically, there's some wide discrepancies. So it's very subjective.
Well, what do you think? You're there. I've been in your area. What do you think crops look like in the Morton Peoria area?
Pretty good. Not quite as good as a year ago, but pretty good. I just drove down earlier this week from Morton to St. Louis. That's the first time I've made that trip this spring, summer. Looked way better than I thought. However, you could tell they were on the dry side. So, you know, I talked to a producer down in Southern Illinois yesterday, and he said, you know, it's been 96, 97 degrees for 3 days in a row. And he goes, it's really starting to stress it. And so, you know, I don't know. I think crop conditions, number one, it's good to have them. It's something for us to go on. But historically, there's been some big variances. It's a very subjective thing.
Right, and they don't have a lot to do with final yields, according to the research the farm economists have done here, until later in the year, that they do catch up at some point, but not at this point. So I wondered a lot about that, and I have made that trip, same trip you would have made from Springfield all the way to St. Louis, and it looked, they were way behind in the beginning of the year. They really were behind, and I haven't been there. I'll probably go there again this weekend, I think. But they caught up a lot. I don't know. It just, this is a tough time. So there is an old adage that you sell into a rally. And I wonder whether you think, Joe, that many farmers took advantage of that in getting rid of old crop corn, and whether they did the same for new crop corn and soybeans.
I think we saw some big-time farmers selling in the corn market when most of these contracts were above $4. We even had the September futures above $4 for a day or two there. Yeah, I had heard that Monday and Tuesday this week were a couple of the biggest days we've had in a good 12 or 13 months in regard to farmers selling. I think that being said, there's still a lot of old crop corn out there, and that's one of the problems with this market. I don't think they're going to let the whole country sell their old crop bushels at $4 cash. I just don't think it's going to happen. And that's not why the market was down today, but it may take a little bit. If this market's going to rally, maybe it's going to take a little bit longer than some people would like to think because of that factor.
Chip, what do you think of the fundamentals of corn and soybeans today?
Well, I really do think it boils down to the forecast today, as it looks today, this afternoon.
On a Thursday.
Is quite a bit less threatening than it was 48 hours ago. So, but, you know, people, we got a long way to go on this thing, and there's high amounts of variability from, you know, the eastern corn belt to the western. I mean, areas that have not had nearly enough rain and been too hot, areas that it can't stop raining fast enough, and they just get 7-inch rain after 7-inch rain. To me, there's too much variability in my mind that lowers the probabilities that we're at trend line yields. And there is a lot of year to go through here. Even if we get through pollination, even if we catch a little bit of rain, you know, I think people maybe overreact a little bit. I remember several years, you get heat in August post-pollination. I'm not saying we're going to have that, but it's been awful hot in areas so far. You get heat post-pollination in grain fill, you can dramatically reduce yields. And obviously, you know, beans are made in August. So we have just a tremendous amount of season left ahead of us. And I just, I guess I'm not in the camp yet that we've got trend line yields guaranteed in the bag right now. So I think there's going to be a lot more volatility going forward. And we've already seen more than we're used to in the last, 9 months, 12 months. I think there's going to be more of that coming in the next 6 or 8 weeks.
Mike Zuzulo, a couple of things, both related to the Dakotas, soybeans in particular. USDA's drought indexed email was out on Thursday morning, and it shows the drought getting worse in North and South Dakota, parts of Iowa, and all the way through into central Illinois, if you run a finger all the way out, but let's stick with the Dakotas. So that's one item. However, I called a grain elevator about 20 miles to the west of Fargo today. They were a dollar under for soybeans this morning on Thursday, and that's 10 cents wider than it has been. So what are we to make of this all?
Well, I don't think that the cash market believes there is any significant yield damage being done right now, Todd. I think that's what the basis is telling you. And I think if you add that up with, and I'm very glad you brought this up, if you add that up with the bias that I have that using a model to try and figure out what the trade is trading right now in terms of carryover, If you're at 360 lead month corn, you're at a 2.2-2.3 billion bushel carryover. At 975 beans, you're at 440-450 carryover. There, in other words, there is no, or if very little, if any, weather premium. In the futures market, basis is for the fall very, very wide in most areas. And so I cannot in good conscience recommend any cash sales at all at this stage. I mean, if you have to do puts because the technicals look bad after Friday's close, that's fine. But I think if you would, even if you would sell cash on an HTA and leave your basis open and re-own it with a call, I still don't think that's as good a strategy as just outright buying a put and leaving your cash bushels completely alone in terms of not selling anything in this environment. You know, kind of wrapping around what you were talking about and what Chip was talking about going to St. Louis, there's three big hot spots that doesn't look like to me is going to get much rain, even with the change in these models. And one of those is St. Louis in that Belleville area. And being down there recently, they were really screaming for a rain 2.5-3 weeks ago. They got a little bit, but they're screaming again for it in terms of, you know, very needing of it. And then you have Sioux Falls, South Dakota. They're going to be in the hundreds the next few days, and they're looking at maybe 1.5 inches of rain in the next 7 days. That's going to help, no question about it, but it's not going to do the job as far as making this crop go back above trend line yield. And then south central Nebraska, where producers are telling me that their corners, with if they don't have corner pivot systems for irrigation, their corners are being lost right now. You know, 6 or 7 more days of 100 degree temperatures that they're called for, and 0.2 or 0.3 of an inch of rain is going to finish that corner, those corners off. So I just kind of go back to, what are we trading? If we're really trading the weather, we're being extremely selective with the models. And if we're trading the weather and we're discounting the price this much, I'm just going to sit back on my hands and still think I can get $600 an acre for beans and $800 an acre for corn. That's my plan.
I'm going to take a look at it next week. I'm going to take some vacation days, although I call these working vacation days, and go up to visit my daughter, who has an internship in Fargo, North Dakota, with Bush Ag Resources. That's the malting plant for Anheuser-Busch. And I'm going to make the run, I think, and I was planning this out today because you know how this goes when you're a farm boy. I'm going to make the slow run, but I want to go across at Burlington and make the diagonal all the way to Des Moines. That should put me into the heart of what is supposed to be a dry area in Iowa. Then the run across 80 to Sioux City and then straight up the borders all the way into Fargo. That should give me a good look at what this crop looks like, and then on the way back we'll come down the normal way and the short way back through Minneapolis and Madison, Wisconsin. So I'll have a good look at the market. What I'm trying to say is that next week on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I may or may not be on the air, but I certainly will be updating my Twitter feed, and that will be posted into the willag.org website. So there will be updated information, and if the trade is moving sharply, I'll do my interviews and post those to the website, but probably not to the radio station directly. So keep track of that. All right. So I'll take a good look next week and have a better idea what this crop looks like. But I guess, Joe and Chip and Mike, that farmers have been offered an opportunity. It seems like they may have taken advantage of it, certainly for old crop corn. Do you all think that they'll have another opportunity? And do you agree with Mike that the numbers right now really aren't building in a weather premium at all?
I agree 100% with Mike, right on line. I think that new crop, we've got plenty of time on, and I'm far from convinced that we've seen the best opportunities, although it might take into winter to see those. Old crop, we're running out of time on, so that just becomes, you know, how much time do we have left? So that window is closing, but I couldn't agree more with Mike's analysis earlier.
I'm in the same boat. I have no interest in selling new crop corn for any reason at these prices. You're basically break even or below the cost of production, maybe slightly above depending on your situation. We've got a lot of time. We've got a lot of storage space. I don't think that this story is over in terms of yield and production. This is a big sell-off. It's a knee-jerk reaction to weather, but the yield is still a big, big question mark in my mind. The debate is ongoing. You know, everyone's got an opinion about it, and for now, those with the higher yield opinions are winning out, but that could change very quickly.
Everybody's satisfied with using their crop insurance at this point as the protection side, or do you want to do anything else?
I'm not doing anything. I'm not spending money on puts below the cost of production. That doesn't work well for me. It's never worked well for me in the past. I'm going to ride this thing out and hope I made some decent old crop sales to kind of hold the boat. I did make some, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you what I did, but I got some new crop corn on the books at better prices, and I'm just going to let it ride here for a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's such a case-by-case scenario. Obviously, if you're in the eastern corn belt, you're getting too much rain, and you feel strongly your yields are hurt, absolutely, even a stronger case not to panic and do anything down at these levels because your crop insurance is going to kick in. Yeah, I just agree totally, you know, with Joe. I don't think this is the spot to do it. Certainly on rallies back towards the high, or we get back north of $4, sure, but not if these levels are lower. There's just too much time left, and we have no clue what the crop size is yet.
You know, I agree with the others. I do feel like that if producers, and as Chip said, on a case-by-case basis, and as Joe talked about, below cost of production, if I had a producer that was nervous the high was in because of the wheat potentially having its high in, and I needed to get that guy mentally back in the game, my logic would be to go after a September bean put, since we still have a gap around 958, we even have a gap lower than that, way, way from a long time ago. Historically, calls and puts, for me anyway, I probably don't have anything in writing that I could show you, but in my opinion, the calls and puts and beans are better in terms of risk reward because the volatility in the market and the actual amount of prices that they tend to move. A 10% move in beans, in other words, is much bigger per bushel move than 10% move in corn. And if this market's really over with, then the beans probably have the best potential to still make that 48, 49 plus bushel yield. And then you could see the yield actually take the ending stocks back up again. The converse is true. If we're going to have a low in this market, I think corn almost has to make it pretty much immediately with the wheat at this stage of the game, because we're in that pollination phase. We only had 19% silking this past week. Normally we're at 30%, 32%, 34%. So come next Monday, we better have really good crop conditions, because we're going to have a third plus of the crop in pollination. And if the trade gets nervous about anything, I would think it would be the corn. So if I were going to buy a put, I would buy it in the beans at this stage because of the technicals and the fundamentals and the risk reward. So something to consider.
Did today's action, and maybe this is just too early, change your view of the marketplace?
Not mine. Certainly it was a sharp break and dramatic, you know, but we rallied $1.40 roughly straight up in like 10 sessions in beans. So far we haven't done anything other than a normal retracement. It happened pretty quickly. Corn maybe is a little deeper than I would have liked to have seen it get on a chart, but I don't think you've turned the tide. I think it's still acceptable. I don't really want to see us, you know, get back under those lows from a couple weeks ago, you know, 373 range. But it's been dramatic and volatile, but I don't know that anything's changed necessarily.
My view on the corn market is this. We still haven't had a real nice marketing opportunity in, what, the better part of 13 months now. I mean, even with these corn at 417, if you would have sold the dead high with a normal basis, you know, maybe you're making a little bit of money depending on your situation. So I think we're in a market that's in any case given us very, very few, if not very minimal marketing opportunities here over the last year. So I just, historically, we always get something to work with, you know, during the course of a calendar year. I'm still halfway optimistic that this year is going to be no different and that maybe we'll get something better to work with down the road. My personal thought on the crop, I think the yield is going to be light. That's just my take on it, given who I talk to and the things I hear about the crop in a lot of areas of the country. And I'm sure there's other people that have differing opinions on that. But, no, my thought hasn't changed. I'm waiting for a marketing opportunity, and I haven't gotten it yet.
I'd like a nice close on Friday for the weekly charts, Todd. But for the most part, unless I would not see the wheat come back around by the 15th, using that 2010 model year, I would be looking around wondering what I'm missing. And am I missing something in the outside markets? Am I missing something in the inflation deflation game that some of the funds like to play, especially with a lot of commentary by the Federal Reserve this past week? But that's probably where I'll draw the line, is if I don't get a turnaround in the wheat and the corn, either on the weather for the corn or the model 2010 year for the wheat, and just the sheer fact that we've taken the market premium out enough and it's time for some good old-fashioned short covering, then I'll start wondering and have to re-evaluate all the positions I have recommended so far.
Let's do our final word, and I thank Mike Zuzlo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting that I will start with you.
Well, I'll just reiterate at the beginning of the show, I think that given the discount of the market now built in as we head into the end of the week, I think the trade was thinking that we were going to be on the path of lower supplies going forward, both domestically and globally, in a general mindset. And they've really gotten shaken by that in the USDA report. And I think that's where the USDA numbers did not give us that feeding of the bull bias that we probably were required to get, given the runs in the wheat and in the beans especially. So now we're playing defense again, but I don't think the supply side has been decided at all, even though the trade maybe is trying to put the cap on the supply side.
Joe Vaclavic of Standard Grain.
It's easy come, easy go when it comes to weather markets. That rally came awfully quickly, and it went awfully quickly, and it could just as easily happen again. It's mid-July. We've got a lot of time. We've got a lot of risk in both directions. I think I'd probably still make the argument that there's more risk to the upside in these row crop markets, at least, than there is to the downside, I think, especially in the corn market. I mean, if we end up with a USDA-type yield, you go down, you test 320 or 330 again, sure, you could. But if you end up with something really light, I think the upside is much more significant. So I'm still kind of viewing this optimistically. We could have put in some kind of short-term seasonal top here, but I'd like to think there's going to be some better opportunities down the road. I'm just hoping it doesn't take too long. I know one of you guys said maybe winter, and I'm kind of thinking that might be possible too. I'm hoping it's sooner than that.
And Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing.
Well, I just agree with everything everyone said. And the thing that's hit me the last few days, I seem like I preach this all the time. You have to have a plan. It gets very emotional. And it's the most emotional when they're rallying because the market's the most uncertain about yield. It gets very hard to make a decision when it's hot, when it's dry, it hasn't rained. But use this volatility, make this volatility work for you and make it an advantage for you instead of being handcuffed by it. But you have to have a plan. And that might mean, for example, if you made some sales back up near the highs, 410, 415 December corn, maybe you come in here and buy some calls against that so that you have it covered both ways if we do rally again. There's just more than one way to skin the cat. Use the volatility as best you can as your friend. Hope we get more of it. Hope we flip-flop these funds two or three more times, because that's what's going to provide the opportunity. But it's going to be a gut-wrenching, psychologically difficult ride. But I agree with Joe and what he said earlier. I think that there's better things coming down the road here.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find the whole of our program and listen to it anytime you'd like on our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. There we post all of our daily agricultural programming. You can also listen to it in iTunes, Stitcher, the Google Play Store, and of course on the NPR One app. Our thanks go to our panelists today, including Joe Vaclavic of Standard Grain out of Chicago, Illinois, Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing in Morton, Illinois, and Mike Zuzlo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Follow me on Twitter @ CommodityWeek.